Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Cordelia Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is November the 9th, 2015. Tonight's topic is sectarianism in Islam. Where do these ideologies come from? First and foremost, before we get started, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to breathe this morning, to be alive. There are people who are in their graves right now wishing they could be where we're at. So we should continue to thank Allah every day, for every minute, for every second of life, because the next minute is not promised to us and it's not guaranteed to us. We should take those things that we take for granted, such as seeing, breathing, speaking, feeling, and touching for granted. And some people do not have those things and long for the things that we do have abilities to use. So, we should say alhamdulillah for all those things and be most humble and appreciative of Allah Azza wa Jal for allowing us to have those things. This is a topic that I didn't pick, but this was a topic that I was asked to do. I like controversy, and I like to dig deep down into things to get to the heart of the matter with various topics. So today, as you know, I was going about, about my day, I was just like, you know, let me post something on Facebook. And it sort of correlated to what this topic is, because people have various beliefs within Islam. Even though we are supposed to cling to the Quran and cling to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people like to deviate from that. Some people like to just do their own thing or get dalil. And what I mean by dalil is information that is not sound. And these are the things that Allah Azza wa Jal stated in Quran, and also these things are narrated in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to avoid and to stay away from, because these things could take you out of the folds of Islam. These things could lead you to the hellfire. So these are things that, you know, we should educate ourselves on. Absolutely, 100%, that we should be educated on these things and become knowledgeable about these things. As a teacher, what I teach my class is the basic fundamentals in Islam, and what that includes is Tawheed and Aqidah. And the reason why I focus on those two things in my class is because those are the fundamental basis of Islam. If you do not understand Tawheed, if you do not understand Aqidah, it's going to be very hard for you to be a practicing Muslim. Those things are extremely important. And, you know, if any new Shahada is listening on the phone or via the web, make sure if you don't want to learn from me, make sure that your teacher is teaching those things. Those things are very key in Islam. Those are the basics, as I always say, on my calls, that these are the foundations. Tawheed is the bottom basis of Islam. You have to have Tawheed. You have to understand the oneness of Allah and why Allah is worshipped, and you know, understand that. Have a good, sound knowledge on what that means and the various forms of shirk. You have to. You have to in Islam. It's key. Because if not, you could go throughout your day and you could be committing shirk without even knowing. it is your responsibility as a Muslim to make sure that you are learning correct knowledge, not some Joe Blow that's just telling you to read this and read that. You know, as I was telling my class Sunday, I said, you know, there are people, there are groups that want to lead Muslims astray. They want you to deviate off of the straight path that Allah has set forth. And how do we stay on the straight path? Is that we cling to the Quran, that we cling to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we do not deviate from neither of them. It's extremely important, and I'll give you an example. I was joining this book club, and the book that we had to get for the book club was The Stories of the Prophet by Ibn Kathir. Okay, so me being cheap, and, you know, I learned my lesson, cheap is always not better. So I ordered this book, and it's The Stories of the Prophets, and it says by Ibn Kathir, and I'm reading it. Because we started the, you know, book club, and when we had our first call, there were some things that I was reading wasn't matching up to what other people in the class was reading. So, you know, I was, and alhamdulillah for this, because Allah was, you know, giving me insight to question certain things. I was like, you know, well, what page is that on? And I'm like, well, my book don't have that page. Like, what is this? So something that was key that caught my attention, and this is why it's key for people to get books and literature from designated websites, not just something that, you know, your friend told you to go to, or, you know, in passing you read it, or, you know, somebody else told you to read it, or whatever like this, because this is what happened with me. In reading about Prophet Adam, may Allah be pleased with him, it stated that Shaitan was an angel. We know that Shaitan was not an angel. He was always a jinn. Now, if I was a new Shahada, and I was reading this in this book that is supposed to be written by Ibn Kathir, this is a sound book, I wouldn't have picked up on it, and I would have ran with that. And, you know, I wouldn't have questioned it, because I wouldn't have the knowledge to say, well, no, that's not what everybody else says. So I did a little bit digging into this, and I was reading, you know, going back and forth. And I'm reading, I'm like, okay, so the reason why in this book is saying that Shaitan was an angel, and because he was disobedient to Allah, Allah changed him into a jinn. And then, you know, he asked for the response from Allah to, you know, try to mislead us into the day of judgment. So I was just like, no, this is not sitting right with me. I was always taught that, you know, Shaitan was always a jinn, and that jinn and mankind has free will. So this is why Shaitan was able to disobey, and you know that angels are perfect. So something was just like, something's not right about this. It just didn't sit right with me that this book would have this, and this book was allegedly, you know, produced by somebody who was sound in knowledge. Like, everybody knows who Ibn Kathir is. So as I'm looking in the book, it has no periodic number. And if you still read hardback books, the periodic number is established by the Library of Congress or Library. I can't remember which way it is. And every book that is published has this number that you should be able to go back to the Library of Congress and reference just that number, and it'll pull the book up. So in looking at the book, it had none of this. It had no publisher date, no where this book was published. And I'm like, looking like, no, this is not a right book. And then as I go back out there to Amazon, I'm looking, I'm like, this isn't even the correct cover for the book. So I'm just like looking and looking and looking, and I'm like, something just didn't sit right. So I go back to the website where, you know, the link where I purchased the book, and I was like, let me just look at the comments. Every last comment. And this is something else I almost left out. When this person who I bought the book from, when I purchased it, the person emailed me and said, are you sure you want this book? And I'm like, yeah, I want the book. Why wouldn't I want the book? And he was like, you know, well, if I ship it out, there's no returns or no exchanges on it. All sales is final. So I'm like, oh, all right. Like, you know, yeah, I want the book. So I go back and I'm looking at the old comments, you know, like as far as, you know, as far as how satisfied were you with this purchase. And every last purchase, people were like, yo, this book is false. This is not the correct book. This is blasphemy. You know, this is bitter in this book. Like, astaghfirullah, brother, you need to fear Allah. Why are you publishing this book? So I'm like, okay, something's not right with this. So I go and search this brother's name who sells the book. He is a Christian who dislikes and hates Islam. So what he is doing is he's taking books that people would not normally question. He's reprinting them himself, basically editing and changing information about our prophets. He's going in and changing information about our prophets, creating it almost similar to what Christianity teaches, and putting it and compounding it in these books, and he's shipping it out using the names of sound scholars. May Allah deal with him in a manner that he sees fit. Because to do that, you have to be cautious. And this is leading up to, you know, sectarianism and Islam and, like, different ideologies. We know that Allah says in the Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 159, as for those who divide their religion and break up into sects, you have no part of them in the least. Their affair is with Allah. He will, in the end, tell them the truth of all that they did. People, and I'm going to tell you how usually sex and things like that form. You have one person who states, this is what it says, this is what it means. The other person doesn't like what that person said or what that person means, in including all of the books that you're supposed to adhere to. So the Quran and Sunnah. This person doesn't like the way he interpreted it. So now I'm going to go and I'm going to gather people that follow, that like how I state it should be interpreted, and this breaks off into various sects. We know in the end of days there will be 72 sects, but only one will be the correct one. I'm not going to get into the various sects because this is what people want. I'm going to adhere to what Allah Azza wa Jal said that we should do regarding sects. You ask Qadira, what do you believe? Who do you follow? Qadira is going to respond to you, I adhere to the Quran, and I follow authenticated hadith. That's it. Now, you can say from there, oh, that's not correct, that's not what you should be doing, or that's not how you should follow. To you be your way, and to me be mine. I'm not attributing myself to any sect. There is no sect in Islam. You're Muslim. That's it. That's it. Now, people will disagree with me and say, oh, you have to say this, you have to say that, because, you know, you got people out there who ain't Muslim and say they Muslim. Torterra's not doing that. The Quran says not to do it. Hadith states not to do it. I tell you that I follow Quran and authenticated hadith. That should be sufficient for you. That should be sufficient. We get into all this rhetoric and fitna about certain things, and your tawhid and akida don't even match up. We can argue about these things, about who you follow, how you follow, what you should be doing, how you should be doing it. We can argue about this all day long, but there is people who want to deal with these sects and don't even understand the basis or premise of what tawhid is. People don't even understand it. I put that question out there on my page, my Facebook page. Where is the law? Where is the law? Just to see where your akida is. Because anybody who reads Quran and follows hadith, I'm talking about to the T, not no in between, because this person said, no, I'm talking about Quran. Allah gave us comprehension for a reason. Allah gave us comprehension for a reason. Some people can read, but you don't comprehend not a thing you read. This is why these are the things that we should be focusing on. Anything that I state, you should be able to, and I should be able to provide you that direct link back to Quran and Hadith. And as it says in Surah 21, Ayat 92, 93, surely this brotherhood of yours is a single brotherhood, and I am your Lord and treasurer. Therefore, serve me and no other. But they broke their religion into sects among them, yet they will all return to us. You're going to be held accountable for this stuff that you do. And Allah is going to give you exactly what your hand called for. Be mindful. Allah says in the Quran, I don't care what nobody else says after that, Allah says in the Quran, do not divide in sex. Do not do it. Do not do it. Oh, you got to say, you got to do. I got to say nothing. What I have to say is that I follow Quran and authenticated hadith. If you can link it back to Muslim, Daoud, Bukhari, and the Sahih, or other sound hadith, I'll take it. You got these people nowadays that aren't satisfied with Allah, depending on what the Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now they want to add all these facts on top of stuff that really has no premise to the religion. It's because you want things a certain way, so you want to twist and manipulate Quran and the hadith to suit your fatwa. We have to be careful of these things. We have to be careful, because when you start making things that are halal, haram, and haram, halal, I got issues with that. And if you can't show me no solid basis that links directly back to Quran and Hadith, I'm a question it. I'm not going to take this stuff lightly. I'm not going to absorb it, and just because you said it and you showed me some fatwa, that I'm just going to run off with it and I'm going to believe it. Because one thing that separates the Christians and the Muslims and the Muslims and the Christians is that we can question the religion. That's one thing that we can do. We can question it. as a Christian, when I, you know, when I was born and raised in Christianity as a Methodist, I was beat as a child for questioning what was said in the Bible, or if my aunt or anybody else told me something and I questioned it, I was beat. I was punished for it. I was not to question God. I'm just asking the question about what God allegedly said in this book. I just need some clear information on it. I was beat and punished for it. But in Islam, we know that we are to question it. We just don't run with stuff because we, oh, that's a good brother. He go to this man, shit. Oh, he said this. I'm just going to follow it. No, you don't do that. If somebody tells you something and tells you to follow something, show me in Quran and Hadith where it states that I must do this. And then we know that what we do is, if we can't follow it directly from the Quran and Hadith, we know we go to the major chain of imams that, you know, had the different manhajs. We look to see what they do. That's the chain how you're supposed to follow it. And if three out of the four do something, you're supposed to go with the majority. And, you know, a lot of people get into the minhaj. I'm leaving it alone. I look at the Quran. I look at the Hadith. If I'm unclear on what those two state, I go to the four imams. And I see what they state, and I take from the greater, not the less. And I don't follow just one. I look at all of them and see what they say on the matter, and then I go from there. And I ask Allah to guide me and to make it clear for me that I'm doing the correct thing. Because you got these people out here now who saying, forget what anybody else said. This is what this sheikh said. Are you crazy? I don't get it. I need to see proof where that is a direct correlation back to Quran and Hadith. How did this come about? How is this founded? Why is this sound now? Why is what you stated correct? Again, we have to be very mindful of these things. Allah made this religion easy for us. He made it extremely easy for us if we pray, if we take our shahada, we, you know, fast on Ramadan, able to make hajj, and, you know, fast and zakat. If we do the basics, and avoid the haram, It's easy. But then, you know, you have people like me who are intellectuals in this land. And again, I'm no scholar. I like to read, and I like to read, and I like to dig into things. So I like to pick apart things. Why does this work? I don't believe things just happen. And this is why I'm Muslim, because in Christianity, I could not understand how you could get three from one. And then it was just told to me, you have to believe that. That's faith. But that's not even logical. You know, they give it to you. Oh, okay, you could be a mother, you could be a daughter, and you could be a sister. But you're still one person. But how do you worship the mother but leave the sister and the daughter out? Like, I couldn't get it. So, you know, when Islam was presented to me, and it was like, look, Qadira, this is what you have to do. You have to believe that Allah is one. He has no partners, no associates, no nothing that works with him. He needs the help of nothing, no one. And even if nobody or nothing existed, Allah would still exist. That's what you believe. Oh, that's all? Is this one God? That's it? Oh, okay, I can work with it. And you have to believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last prophet and messenger. He is the seal of the prophets. There's none to come after him. Oh, that's it? Oh, okay. Because trying to understand all that other stuff, I could never grasp it. Never, not even as a child. And children will tell you. Children will tell you the truth about that. You know, in that post that I put up about where is the law, it generated so much. Like, I didn't even expect it to really escalate to where it was. But it just shows, you know, how close some people are and how far off some people are. Like, you know, I asked some people, like, where did you hear that from? What, can you provide hadith or Quran to, you know, substantiate your claim? Where, prove it. You can, such and such, you sent this link with, I'm like, who is that? And how does what they say override what Allah and the hadith say? How I'm not understanding it. You know, again, it's easy. This religion is easy. We need to stop making it hard. And I get it for the intellectuals. But, like, some new shahadas was inboxing me, and they're like, Qadira, like, what's going on? Like, I don't get none of this. And I'm just like, don't concern yourself with this right now. This is a little bit too much for you. And I tried to explain it in layman terms for them. And they're like, oh, okay, so why is we not going to get into that? I don't want you to get confused. I don't want you to get led astray. Don't even go back and read none of that stuff on that post, because I just don't want you absorbing none of that. And one comment that a person made, I had to totally delete it. I was like, oh, no, I can't even let nobody read this. I need to understand what is it that is so hard to do adhering to the Quran and to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, it's clear. It's clear. I can't understand why. I'm gonna just put it out there. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, and you're tuning in via the web, or you're directly dialed in at 805-727-7013, you can press 1, and I will put you through if you have a comment, question, or concern. About this topic, we're talking about sectarianism and Islam. Where do these ideologies come from? I got some tongue twisters in there. And I'll read this from Surah Ayat 31-32. Turn back in repentance to him and fear him. Establish regular prayers and be not among those who ascribe partners to Allah. Those who split up their religion and become mere sects, each party rejoicing in that which is with itself. Again, you know, people come to me all the time. Oh, you have to say this. You have to say you do this because this is. No, again, Fadira has to do nothing. I adhere to Quran. And I adhere to hadith. You're not going to get me to say otherwise. I'm just not doing it. I'm just not doing it. And when I was researching, you know, I just went out there, you know, in Google, because I just, you know, I use Google just to see, like, Islamic denominations, which we know this shouldn't even exist. It shouldn't even exist. It was over 68 pages. Over, like, some of these things I have never even heard of in my entire life. Haven't never even heard of them. Before I get into that, I see that I have a person who wants to make a comment, so I'll put you through. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. I really thought, like, you know, I tuned in because I really thought this would be a very interesting topic. But sometimes I think when you approach things and you mention Quran, Sunnah, and things that are undeniably not controversial or argumentative about. Sometimes he set down the controversy early. You know, it's like any Muslim when you're having a discussion, you know, when you say, yeah, show me that in the Quran or, you know, give me the proof of such things, and it kind of sets down the argument. I guess in the day-to-day, we always hear everybody claiming respect. I'm just thinking, alhamdulillah, I don't read these things. You know, I always say, well, you show me that sect in the Quran, and alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim. The only thing I read is Muslim. Tarianism has become something that has divided Islam because you have brothers who down other brothers who do not follow that minhaj, that way of thinking, and we begin to do what others do, which is create enemies in something that should be of one brotherhood. We down another because of their lack of the small thing. And, you know, and it comes down to, I think a lot of people, when they deal with these sectarianism classifications, it's the means to upgrade themselves and down another, and we begin to act this kufar ways in which we always discuss and basically are not supposed to down one another, but enlighten one another. But it's like, you know, I've seen brothers who literally were shut down individuals because they're not on that understanding, not on that minhaj. And like you said, I agree with you. Now, I hate that, you know, you say you watch the TV and you see we're at war with differences of understandings. You know, you say you got, yeah, you got the Sunni, you got the, you know, all these brothers who they paint a picture like we're at war and we argument over here. You know, it's the same difference. You're still at war, you're still at odds, and that's not what Islam was built upon, you know. I would like to say if we follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the question would be, well, what sect do you think he claimed? And I don't think nobody would say he claimed any sect. So when we attempt to be as much like him as possible, then claiming a sect is far from, you know, following in that attribute. But, you know, alhamdulillah, like I really was expecting brothers coming on here and charging because I see it every day, you know, when they're charging others. And, you know, but sometimes when you say things like I said, when you say, listen, you know, when you stick it to the Quran and the Sunnah, you kind of shut out the argument. You know, because people like to go off their own thoughts, their own opinions, and not the facts, which is always there. You know, and when you don't bring the facts to the table, when you don't put the core of what we believe in there, the Quran and the Sunnah and these things, then you allow that deviation. You know, you allow that misguidance. But, you know, alhamdulillah, hopefully for those that are listening, you know, you shared some things. And for those that don't know and understand and are learning Islam, then they understand that, like you say, you have to make sure whatever knowledge you're given is factual. And Islam is not based on a cheesecake cut in pieces. It's the whole unified, you know, piece. It's not slices involved. There is no slices. It's not supposed to be anyway. You know, it's one unit. Alhamdulillah, you say, they're saying it's fine. This is one ummah. That's what it's supposed to be. And if it was that, then we wouldn't be going through the situations that we now face to have. But alhamdulillah, I just wanted to speak my piece on that situation right there.
Oh, okay. MashaAllah. Yeah, you know, we get into this so much, like this argumentative stance about, you know, Whitman had you follow things of this nature. And, you know, as I was saying, and some of you don't even have correct Tawheed or Aqidah. Like, you don't even know the basics, but you want to argue about what you should be following and how you should be following it. And, again, if anybody just takes the time, because that's what it takes. It takes time, and I'm not talking about you shake Google, you know, to get your answers. Go back, you know, to Quran and Hadith and pull your answers from it. And it clearly, as I was stating, it states it numerous times in the Quran, do not divide in sects. And people keep saying, oh, I'm not dividing it in a sect. But that's exactly what you're doing. When you say that, oh, you have to identify yourself as this because if you don't, you're not following the correct way. And I'm like, no, it doesn't say that you should identify yourself as a certain thing. It says that you should adhere to Quran and authentic hadith. That's what it states. And if I'm doing that, then that should be sufficient. I should not need to put a label on me and say, this is what I am, because that's not what we do. You say you're Muslim, you're Mumin, you know what I mean? Like, you can't find some of these things, and, you know, I'm like, okay, show me the proof where you should say this, and, you know, the proof can never be found. And I'm just like, you know, I'm going to do what I, you know is correct for myself. You know, Allah knows best. I'm going to do what I was taught to do and always cling to the Sunnah and cling to the Quran. And if you can't show me in either one of those, then, you know, you can keep it moving, as I would say. You know, it's very important, you know, that we don't deviate off this straight path. Allah has given us the Surah Al-Mutakin, and he has made it clear what we should do. But people want to do what they want to do, and when you do that, you fall off. You fall off that path. You fall off that path, and we can't just go by something because somebody else, it looks good or it sounds good. These are things that it's clear. It's not that confusing. It's very clear of what you should do. So I thank you for making your comment. Do you have anything else to say?
Assalamu alaikum.
All right, well, alaikum salam. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on mute. So, you know, like, as I was stating before I took the question from the brother, just when I Googled the denominations of Islam, this was scary. I knew it was a lot. But I clearly did not expect it to be this numerous. And reading some of these things is crazy. You have people that divide according to the beliefs of Islam. So people have divided sects in Islam according to beliefs. So for monotheism, prophethood, the holy books, the angels, the day of judgment, predestination. So the articles of faith, people have created sects just on the articles of faith. Just on the articles of faith, people have created sects because one person didn't agree with how the other person saw it, but neither one of them reverted back to Quran and Hadith to base their claim off of. Because if they would have based their claim off of that, they would still be one. They would still be one. There would be no deviation. Then you have people who have created sects according to the five pillars of Islam. Sects. They have totally separated themselves because one believes different just on the five pillars of Islam. Next you have the rightly guided caliph. So we know this is how Shiism was created, based off the caliphs. So you have sects that have been divided based on the caliphs. Then you have the Sunni schools, and that's Hanifi, Hanbali, Maliki, Shafi'i, and Zahiri. And then you have even more than that. So you get all this division just based on the Sunni schools of laws. Then you have the Sunni schools of divinity. Then you have the movement. Then you have people who have created sects of Islam based on the holy sites. So you have people who have divided from Islam because they are in Jerusalem. And we know why that is. I don't have time to go into, you know, why these people are following a sect created for Jerusalem, because we know that was the original site of the Kaaba, and then Allah changed it to be in Mecca. So you have people who have separated, and they follow a sect that people are just for Mecca. And then you have people that created a sect just for Medina. Correctly, this is what I'm reading. These are groups of Muslims who have sectioned off and sect themselves according to the holy sites that, you know, are dear to us in Islam. Then you have people who have divided because of the hadith. So you have Kitab al-Sittah, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, al-Sunnah al-Sagara, Sunnah Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Majah, Kitab, Malik, and so forth and so on. I'm not going to read all these, but all these hadith, you know, who are, you know, solid chains of narrators, you know, that go back to the Salaf or the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who were, you know, that chain of narration, you have people who have sect off because, okay, I like the way Da'ud said this, so I'm following this Da'ud. Any hadith outside of Da'ud, I'm not following. A'udhu billah, this is what people are doing. Then it gets into, I mean, this was crazy when I seen this. Like, I was scared. I was scared. Then you have sex because people follow the holy days. We know in Islam we have two holidays, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. We fast the entire month of Ramadan. We do not do the Maulid. We don't do that. We recognize Ashura. We fast on those days, but we don't make this like a grand holiday. We don't. We fast on that day. We, you know, understand the importance of that day, but we don't do that. But you got people who are making like this holy day that they say Eid al-Ghadir. I never even heard of that. Never even heard of it. But you have people, because they observe this, that they have sectioned themselves off. This is, and then you have more deviation where each sect, like the Shia and the Sunni, and then, like, this was overwhelming to read. This was overwhelming to read. I mean, when I pulled this up and I was like, are you serious? All this division, all this breaking off and not adhering to what Allah said. Like, and then you have this. You have people who don't even accept the hadith. They call themselves Quran only. They only reference the Quran. And I'm like, oh, Uthabullah, how can you do that? So how did you learn how to pray? How did you learn how did you know what to do during the fast? How did you learn to make wudu or ghusl? Like, how did you learn these things without adhering to the hadith? And in Quran, it says that you have to follow the hadith. And these are the two things that we use to guide us in Islam. So how are you not following these? You know, you have people who follow the Quran only. They will tell you, oh, the hadith was all fabricated. We don't follow that. And I'm like, how that work for you? How does that work? I'm not understanding it. Again, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, call in at 805-727-7013. And, you know, I'm just looking at this, and, you know, I say, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive in today's time, how pleased would he be with us? How pleased would he be? I'm not talking about anything else right now. I'm talking about just the way we have divided ourselves. How pleased would he be with us? I see I have another caller. I'm going to put you through. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Brother Ali in Orlando, Florida.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you? How are you this evening?
Alhamdulillah. All praises are due to God. I agree with you as far as the sectarianism in the religion, and I gave it some thought as you and the brother preceding me spoke, and I kind of wondered and thought back about what Imam Wahduddin Muhammad had mentioned to the community at large, and he brought it to the entire community that it was not until knowledge came that caused divisions among the believers. And one thing that Imam Wahduddin Muhammad mentioned, peace be on him, is that knowledge, and he referred to knowledge as being like a fire, F-I-R-E. And when you think of fire, you think of the nature of fire. It purifies, but it also can provide means of weaponry, firearms, bombs, and it's also symbolic, as Imam Wahduddin Muhammad had mentioned to us, that it represents knowledge, good knowledge as well as bad knowledge. And when you look at the Islamic world today, and not just only the Islamic world, I would say pretty much most of the major religions, you have dissension in the ranks among the clerics as well as the common people and among nationalities. And I think that where we should look at more than anything nowadays is to look at the heart, the character, the heart, and the morals of a person. And as Imam Wahduddin Muhammad again has told us, that Allah placed the knowledge of Quran on the Prophet's heart, an illiterate man. And I've learned over the years, being 60 years of age now, to look inside, to look for good character, to look for good morals, to look for good behavior, and an avid desire to learn and to improve. And Imam Wahduddin Muhammad said that education was one of his top priorities. And I think that if we lean in that direction to improve, to gain knowledge for ourselves and to put it into practice, because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and we should be conscious of this, the principle of Ihsan, then I think it will help us a lot in how we produce and how we conduct ourselves. In fact, it will solve the problem of marriage. It will solve the problem of family and community life. And pretty much, I'm very pleased that this program exists, and I do as much as I can to share the information with other brothers and sisters to let them know that tune in to the program and offer your comments and let us know what's going on in your area. So I say that to let you know that things are well with me and with those whom I'm in contact with, and we're striving hard to do our best to bring about al-Islam in our area. So, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And, you know, as Brother Ali just said, you know, something else that we should definitely do is cling to the sunnah. You know, cling to the sunnah as best as we can. Hold on to the rope of Allah and don't let it go. And how do we do that? We always revert back to Quran and Hadith. You can't go wrong with that. You can't go wrong with that. You know, again, as you said, a lot of these ideologies come about because people don't like what somebody else said, or they got a problem about how that person defined that particular statement. And you go back to Quran and Hadith with that. Again, like, you know, we have a process of how you get clarification on something. First you go to Quran, then you go to hadith. If those things weren't clear, you can go to tafsir, because that's what the tafsir is for. Tafsir will break down what the Quran says, like by surah, what that means. And also another thing, like I said this before, certain words cannot be converted into other languages. So Arabic, each specific word cannot be converted to English or to Spanish and to other languages. And I gave an example of that, I believe, on a couple calls ago. Again, in Haitian Creole, cake, C-A-K-E, is gato. But in Spanish, gato means cat. Again, Haitian Creole, gato means cake. Spanish, it means cat. So, you know, if you put that word in a sentence like, oh, I love to eat gato, and you're talking to a Spanish person, they're going to look at you like you're crazy, like you eat cat. So this is how, why we need to learn Arabic, and we need to learn the classical Arabic, because that's how the Quran is written. It's in classical. Each, like when you have Egyptian Arabic, it's slightly different. Certain words mean different things. So when you learn Arabia or Arabic, the way you're learning is the classical state of Arabic, which is the Quran. Because again, not all words translate, and some words can't be translated, so you lose the meaning or the full concept of that word. I'll try to reiterate this. It is important and it is incumbent upon every Muslim to make sure that you are getting accurate information. If the person who you are learning from cannot show you where this reverts back directly to Hadith or Quran, you should question it. You should question it. And it's your right as a Muslim to question it. I'm going to do one more roundabout. And if you have a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. So, you know, again, as Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us, I gave you the dalil on it, not to do this, not to make these divisions, not to do it. Stay away from it. It's a clear problem, and I don't want you nowhere near it. I read again, Surah 49. Ayats 10 through 11, the believers are but a single brotherhood. So make peace and reconciliation between you two contending brothers and observe your duty to God, that you may receive mercy. I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. And when somebody tells you that you have to ascribe yourself to a certain group, you should question it, because Allah says don't do it. I didn't say not do it. Even Hadith doesn't say not do it. Allah said don't do it. And that person can make all the excuses in the world for me to why I should do it. If Allah said don't do it, why should I do it? You explain that to me, and you make it clear to me why. Where? Show me in Quran where that overrides what Allah said himself. You won't find it. And these are the things that we should do. We should question these things when people tell us this stuff. You're not Christian. You can question this stuff. Nobody's going to look down on you because you question it. People look down on you because you didn't question it. When somebody tells you that you have to go to one masjid, you can't go to no other masjid, You can't read nothing from nobody else. You can only read stuff from here. You cannot associate with no brothers and sisters from no other masjid but here. You should question it because the law didn't say that. I created this one masjid or this one particular group, and you must follow that. If he did, it would say it clearly in Quran and Hadith. It was clearly stated. You guys know I get very passionate about this stuff, and, you know, I'm an intellectual and I'm an analyst at heart. I like to dig down into things because I like to pick things apart so I can put them back together. And me, no one has been able to clearly state why I should attribute myself to a certain group or a certain set. Why should I do this? Nobody can clearly define that for me. You go all the way around. You take five different directions, and you still don't come back to the question I asked. That troubles me. And since you can't show me directly where it says, okay, and Quran or such and such an ayah, such and such, that said that you should attribute yourself to this group, and this is how you should attribute yourself, and this is the title that you should give yourself, or in Hadith, it says this is Sahih al-Bukhari, this is how you should do it, and this is the group, and this is the, you know, the sect that you should attribute yourself. I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling. Call me a deviant, call me what you want, I'm not falling for it. Because you can't show me in Quran and Hadith where it states that. And I implore everybody on this call, and if you go back and you tell people to listen back to the show, ask yourself, is this even logical that you're just taking somebody's word for it because they said it and it sounds good? We know what Quran states. We know what Hadith states. Now, if you want to deviate from that, that's your own business. We know how from following Quran, and we know from following Hadith how you're supposed to dress, how you're supposed to care for your wife, for your husband, how you're supposed to treat your children, how you're supposed to treat your neighbor, how you're supposed to treat your family, where you're supposed to work at, you know, how are you supposed to conduct yourself as a Muslim, how you're supposed to treat people, how you're supposed to deal with business, how you're supposed to bury your dead, how you're supposed to treat animals, how you're supposed to spend your day, how to pray, how to fast. So I don't need somebody telling me this is what this says when I can read it in Hadith and Quran. And it's clear. I don't suffer a mental defect where I'm not on, you know, grade level or I'm comprehending as a child. I don't have that defect. Alhamdulillah, I don't have that. So if I'm reading something and I don't understand it in Quran, I can go to tafsir. I can read the tafsir to get a better understanding because sometimes with reading Quran, you can misinterpret something and it means something totally different. So, again, I take the logical approach. The tafsir is there for us to use, so I use it. I just don't assume because I know it states something. I'm like, okay, let me go to tafsir and see what this says, the breakdown of, you know, surah such and such. Okay, that's not how I thought it was interpreted. Okay, so this is how it's supposed to be interpreted. Alhamdulillah. Same thing with Hadith. If I go to Hadith and I don't understand something, I go to what the majority of the imams, the scholars, state. This is what it means, and this is how it's interpreted, and this is how it should be followed. Alhamdulillah, I have that intellect to be able to do that. And a majority of people do. So you saying that you have to do a specific thing just to be able to be around me or hang around me, I question it. I question it. Open it up one more time. You can call in at 805-727-7013. And, you know, in concluding this call, I asked the law supreme with the Allah if I've misstated anything, so please forgive me because that's not my intention to mislead or misguide anyone. That's definitely not my intention to do that. So if I have said anything in error, may Allah forgive me, please. I mean, I like to do topics that are interesting, stuff that's not going to be boring, you know, things, you know, that's currently happening in the news. We see these things happening within our communities, so forth and so on. If you have something, if you have a topic that you want me to talk about, if it's something that I think would be beneficial to the masses, I have no problem with doing it. Just like somebody asked me to do the end of days, the signs of the end of days. I did that show because the sister asked me to. I did this show because the brother said, okay, I feel as though this is an important topic. Can you do that? No problem. I'll do it. If you want me to do a topic or you have a suggestion or something along that sort for me to do, even if you have a business or you're starting a new venture or something like that and you want to talk about that on the show, I have no problem with having you as a guest on the show, inshallah, and we'll talk about it. This is what I'm here for. I'm here to open the platform for people not to be shy and scared. You can talk. I'll put you on. I have no problem with doing that. I just ask that we all be respectful and mindful that, you know, we do have some non-believers that listen in to our call. So, you know, that we keep it in the lines of being, you know, presentable and not using foul language, so forth and so on. So, you know, these are just some of the things that, you know, I ask from my listeners. Again, I appreciate you all because you guys take your time out of your busy schedule to listen in and to tune in to me, to hear me talk. Inshallah, I'm beneficial to y'all. Again, I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being able to just do this. I had no real interest in doing radio. I had nothing, you know, no skills, no anything about it, but Imam Alfred said he saw something in me that, you know, he thought was positive, and he seen something in me. And people usually say that about me. They see something in me that they like. Alhamdulillah, I'm glad some people are pleasing me, other people ain't. But, you know, I'm glad and I'm thankful that, you know, I was given this opportunity to be able to do this type of show and bring this information to you. Again, we talk about every and anything, so if it's nothing that's really too off, out of bounds, I'll do it. I've talked about sexual abuse. I've talked about, you know, the prison system. I've talked about homosexuality on the show. I talked about the rights of the children, the wife, the husband. You know, I've talked about a gamut of things. So, again, I take everybody's suggestions to heart. I really do. I take them to heart, and if it's something that I think that I can, you know, grasp and get my hands around, because, again, I'm not knowledgeable in everything. I don't know everything. So if it's something that, you know, I can present and I think I wouldn't have a problem, I want to speak educatedly on these subjects. I don't want to be stumbling over myself. So, you know, I have no problem with presenting those to you. Now, there is a topic that I have been talking, and a lot of things have been coming around, and I'm like, oh, you know, I could just do one show on this. And, you know, inshallah, maybe Thursday, I'll do a show on the forgotten Sunnahs. Because, you know, I've seen these photo clips on various social networks where they talk about people used to do the sunnah because it wasn't, but now because of sunnah, we don't do them. And there are a lot of forgotten sunnahs that we don't do that we should do. I mean, we don't have to, but it's good that we do those things. And I was speaking to one of my good friends, and, you know, she's pregnant, and so, you know, I was talking about, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, like when a baby comes, you got to do the comma and the den and everything. And I was like, yeah, don't forget to get the date and have your husband chew it and then give it to. She was like, you know what? I forgot about that. She was like, alhamdulillah, I'm so thankful that you remind. She said, I forgot about that. These are the little things. These are the little things that, you know, we can get some reward from them if we do them in addition to the mandatory things that we're doing. You know, and I myself, I'll say this first and foremost, I am nowhere near perfect. So any barakat that I can get to tip that scale on the right a little bit more than the left, alhamdulillah, I will do it. Because Allah knows I need it. You know, that's another thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to conceal our sins, not reveal them. And Qadira ain't revealing none of hers. Because I already know how y'all do on social networks. Y'all would chew me out. Y'all would love to do it. But I ain't going to give y'all the fuel for the... Inshallah, I'll try to do that show maybe Thursday on the Forgotten Sunnahs. I think that's something important that we could touch up on. Again, if you want to reach out to me, if you want to contact me, you can call me directly, 610-836-2120. You can text me. You can send me, leave me a voicemail message. If you want to send me a message via email, you can reach me at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks. That's Facebook, Instagram, Path, Twitter, Google Talk. Or you can inbox me. You can DM me. However you want to, you know, contact me. You can go to my page, Religion Means Alive, Qadira section on Facebook. And always come back to this website, which is blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alford. If you want to look at any past shows that I have done, usually any shows that I've done, you will see my name listed on it. So you could just, like, in the search field on the page, just type in my name, Qadira Muhammad, and I will come up and you'll be able to listen to past shows. Inshallah, I pray that everybody has a blessed evening and that Allah returns our souls tomorrow and doesn't take our souls until he is pleased with us. I mean, assalamu alaikum and have a great night.